Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Chris Rossini, the co-host. Chris, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Dr. Paul.
Good. We want to talk again today about a subject we have visited many times, and that has to do with inflation. And most of our viewers realize where inflation comes from. It doesn't come from the sky. It comes from central banks, people who control money supply. Because when you inflate the currency, the money supply, that is the inflation. And it expresses itself in many different ways. And the one that people fear the most, and if they don't see it, they don't think they have inflation. That's when the prices go up and the consumers are hurt badly. And that's been going on now in the countries that have no control, mostly the socialist countries like Venezuela and Zimbabwe, and now Iran, the country that we're going to be talking about. But inevitably, it's related to the money supply. I think what some people don't realize is that you can't make the prediction if a country or central bank, the monetary managers double the money supply. You can't say, well, prices will double, what's the big deal, and wages will go up 100%, you know, and that'll double, and everything will be okay. It just doesn't work that way. You have to understand how markets work, and the subjectivity is put in there, and there's a lot of variables involved. So some countries maybe could increase their money supply three times. Just think of the amount of inflation of the money supply we've had in this country, trillions of dollars since the recession started in 2008, 2009. But other countries, especially in the third world nations, there's always a shortage of money. Prices go up because there's inflated currencies, debasing the currency. And the mantra is always, well, we don't have enough money. So that invites, guess whom? The socialists. Even though they caused all the problems of spending for socialist program, they yell and scream. So the socialists say, well, what we need to do is tax the economy more, take more money out and print more money. People have to have more money to pay the bill. So you brought it to my attention, Chris, an article that appeared on Schiff's website, Peter Schiff's website, dealing with Iran. They have inflation there. Wow, what a surprise. But they're doing something a little bit different. We know that in some countries, all countries who have total failure, they go to bartering. But the thing that caught our interest here is the fact that in Iran, they were starting to use some precious metal to try to survive.
Yes, as you mentioned, in Iran, the rial has plummeted. I read 140% since the United States unilaterally withdrew from the nuclear deal that Iran was complying with. And their inflation rate is over 200%. So they're really suffering there. And it's a combination of their monetary policies. If you look at their money supply, it's skyrocketed. It reminds you of the U.S. But then you add on the U.S. is crippling sanctions, and it's really hitting them hard. But we're reading that when times are tough, that's when people go to the real money, and they're starting to use gold. We read in Peter Schiff's article that they're using it to pay their rents. They're using it for other financial transactions. It's funny, Dr. Paul, that real money has to appear, but it has to appear when people are suffering.
You know, in more authoritarian societies, what they do to control the government, not let anybody be independent and survive, is they eliminate the right of people owning gold and using gold, and they don't want you to be able to do that. And just think of what our government did to our people in the 1930s. They inflated throughout the 20s. They had these booms in the stock market. There was a crash. And then what was the first thing to be done when Roosevelt came in? He confiscated the gold. He didn't want anybody, you know, holding on to gold for protection and taking care of themselves. And this is one thing that they do. They wanted to they believe, the Roosevelt administration believed that, oh, people might hold on to the gold and plan and take care of themselves and, you know, sort of sort things out. And the government wanted them to spend money. The problem was if they just spent more money, you know, everything would be okay. But actually, it's pretty fortunate that there is some gold floating around in Iran. And I kept thinking, it brought to my mind, you know, in India, the people in India have notoriously been gold people, you know, in jewelry and dowries, that they pass this on. So, but they also have problems, and they put rules and regulations on cash. And that is what it comes to. The cash and gold are similar in some ways. People, you know, if as bad as our dollar is as a sound currency, you know, even if you just had cash dollars, which would be a substitute for gold, people in Iran and the Venezuela, all these places could do better. And of course, there will always be a black market for that. But they never want to admit who's causing the problem. What is the problem? What is the appetite for big government? What is the notion about deficits? Deficits don't matter, is the whole argument, I say. And that's what our country has taught our people, and everybody in Congress must believe it, because deficits keep going up. And they say, well, yeah, we know we have to lower them, and they do waste a lot of money, but the people wouldn't tolerate it. And in some ways, that's true. The military industrial complex will not tolerate us cutting back on the spending and the deficits for the military, and certainly the welfare state wouldn't tolerate it either. So that's why we can expect that our problems are going to get a lot worse. And when that happens, and what we're seeing here in Iran is the resorting to a natural solution. Unfortunately, it's going way backwards, because bartering was the original way that individuals in very, very early history, there was always some trading going on, but it was always goods and maybe services that they would trade back and forth. But now that is what they're resorting to. Of course, when the metals came in, this was a much better way than just direct bartering. You know, I sort of get a charge out of what's going on in Venezuela, because if you're in Venezuela, the barber now is asking for 5 bananas and 2 eggs for a haircut. So that gets pretty silly. But they want something tangible, something of value. And it's the market speaking. The market is speaking loud and clear. And if you read the story about them using gold, digging out gold in their jewelry box or whatever, and using it, this is a natural instinct to go back to how money originated, because bartering was inefficient and cumbersome, and it didn't work so well. But as soon as they introduced the notion of using precious metal as a measurement of value, all of a sudden, that is when the world, progressed tremendously and progressed in industry and in prosperity. And when you see these stories like this, you know, it's almost like wringing our hands. Why do people want to go backwards? Why do people listen to the socialists who want all these programs and just want to print the money? Then they wonder what's wrong when it falls apart. But I think Iran, and you've already mentioned it, Chris, it's they're at fault to a large degree, because they print money like crazy, like just about every country in the world. But at the same time, you know, it's tragic that a lot of this pain and suffering is coming from bad U.S. policy. You know, having an agreement and working toward a more open society in Iran, I believe, was very sincere, and they're still trying to work it out with the Europeans, you know, to have a sort of more open arrangement. And yet we just arbitrarily say, oh, no, they're cheating, and we can't trust them. We're putting all the sanctions on. We're going to make them worse. What did the Iranians ever do to our people? And look at what we're doing to their people. And people say, oh, no, Ron, you blame America first. No, not first, but a part of it. And I think that's legitimate, because it's made conditions much worse. And that's why the people in Iran who are trying to survive, it's a complication from their policies, but it's been certainly aggravated in this last 6 months. Once we went away from the agreement and then put on more sanctions, that is just something that we should not be proud of. That doesn't make us great, I'll tell you that. It makes us look like we're just vindictive on people. And there has to be other motives behind why are we doing this? What have they done to us? You know, the Iranians aren't about to attack us. And in recent history, hundreds of years, they're not the people that have been aggressive and invaded other countries. We're in 170 countries around the world. world. And yes, they get out and they worry about their borders, and they have some alliances with Syria and with Russia and all out of their own self-interest. But believe me, in many ways, our policies have not set a, if nothing else, our policies have not set a very good example for the rest of the world who should be adapting to a free market system.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, in America, there are so many distractions that people don't pay attention to what our government does around the world, or what happens financially, because financial crisis happens all the time. Today, we're talking about Iran, but it's also in Venezuela, Zimbabwe. In 2012, there was barter in Spain and in Greece. There was the Cyprus, where they woke up and they got a haircut, quote unquote, where the money was just taken out of their bank accounts. And even, as you mentioned, Dr. Paul, in India, where their ATMs were empty, 90% of the ATMs in many parts of the country. So this system, this worldwide system, is the crisis itself. Yeah. That, you know, and it's just, it seems to be on the periphery, and Americans think that we're just immune to this, but it's not true. And, you know, when the world was, I think it was like 65% communist, eventually they all woke up and the whole thing went away. Well, eventually, this fiat system, this crisis that we're constantly in, people will wake up and they'll go back to something sound, hopefully.
And the people that have driven us to this point around the world and in this country as well, because we really didn't clean up the mess from 08 and 09, so we still have a lot of potential danger. But there's a steady movement against more controls on the people and their independence, and that's why it will continue to be an attack on cash. They are conditioning the American people. It's certainly convenient just to avoid using cash, credit cards, and everything. We can watch the people more than ever. But I'm just hoping that the American people don't buy into this, that this is a necessary solution to the problems that government has caused. Why should cash be the enemy? And there's a lot of people in this country. I've heard statistics being pretty high. 15 to 20% of the people still don't have checking accounts. And we want to attack them and say, well, you have to do that because we want to know where the money is. And that's for a lot of reasons. But they also don't want people to be able to defend themselves. They want them to be dependent on the government, and the solution has to come from the government, so they endorse all these government programs. They never want people to look at the real culprit, and the culprit is the money managers, the money creators, our Federal Reserve, and all central banks. They do not want to have them look at that, so they think of all kinds of reasons why prices are high. Well, it's greed, and it's envy, and the business people are making too much money. Labor unions run up labor costs too much. They come up with all kinds of excuses, but they never want to say, well, the reason that we have this problem is the Federal Reserve. I think there's more people now thinking about it and looking at the Federal Reserve as a culprit. But basically, the average person on the street will buy into it. And I think this superficial, and I consider it superficial, response to the socialists shouting out now that the problems all came from capitalism and too much freedom, and therefore we have to have socialism. Everything has to be free, and then there's no problem. And we'll set the prices. But that is so naive and so dangerous, because ultimately it's dangerous to our liberties. You know, whether it's taking away your right to keep cash and spend it when you want, or to run your life as you choose. But ultimately, if we allow this to get out of hand, the people who are in charge will always use more government force. It will not be a voluntary society. And that's what markets are all about, voluntarism, that I think is so important.
Yes, I'll finish, Dr. Paul. It seems to be human nature that when things get bad enough, you're forced to choose. You either sink or you swim. And we're seeing in Iran that some people are choosing to swim. They're going back to real money. They're using it no matter what the government says or does. And ultimately, that's what the establishment lacks. They can have the biggest militaries. They could have all the university professors. They can have all the media. But the one thing that they lack is the truth. And ultimately, the truth comes back to bite them every single time. There's no exceptions. So hopefully we're providing some value to our viewers, passing on some truth that they can use into their with their lives so that they can thrive no matter what conditions governments and central banks set up for them outside.
There was a time that the economists of the world believed that if you had an exchange, that one side suffered and the other one benefited. And that was then, for a long, long time, they thought that had to be that way. And then finally worked out in the more modern age that they discovered that both sides benefit. Both sides should be happy. It should be voluntary. I give some money, I get my product. He's glad to have the money, I'm glad to have the product, you know, and it's all voluntarism. But when the market gets shaky, like we have it, and the world is shaky, they have to find scapegoats, and they have to blame, and then they justify that for more government, like price controls. You know, we'll put controls on them, and we'll make sure that nobody has any take advantage of this. But we should remember that a voluntary exchange benefits both sides, and of course, the most important thing on voluntarism in economics is that you have a good measuring rod of value, and of course, that's a sound currency, and that would go a long way to facilitating, prosperity and actually facilitating liberty. Because the more freedom a country has, the greater is the size of the middle class, and our middle class is now shrinking in spite of this grand prosperity. And we've talked about it on this program. You know, the middle class is very, very unhappy. But that's a predictable event. The middle class would suffer with inflation. When you increase the supply of money for special benefits, it gravitates to the bankers and the military-industrial complex, the corporations, the special interest groups. So that is the real problem. So it was a predictable event, but it still is amazing because every night you can see, you know, the economy is the best it's been in 60 years. Well, if that were the case, and in some regards, I think there's some truth to some of the statistics, but if that were really true, why would there be so many people unhappy willing to take on freedom and say, no, what we need are socialist managers? I think it's a bunch of people who are also very hungry for tyranny because they think people are dumb. I've heard too many politicians tell me people are dumb. That's why they need us to help them and take care of them. And I say, yeah, you take all those dumb people you don't like and put them in government, and then we all suffer. So I like the voluntary approach, and I like the limited government approach. And, of course, that would give us a greater chance to achieve peace and prosperity and a huge middle class that would be very prosperous. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.